Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our website at www.christopcatl.org. Christ OPC meets for worship each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
From Romans chapter 16, verse 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. What is your proper or fitting response to God who saved you from eternal death and hell? In the concluding section or portion of the book of Romans, the text before us tonight, the Apostle Paul gives us the answer for that question. Those of you who have studied the book of Romans, you would remember how the book is divided. From chapter 1 to 11, the Apostle Paul unfolds to believers how God has brought salvation to their life, how God justified us by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ alone, how God adopted us as his own children without you and I doing nothing except believing in the finished work of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And then how God sanctifies us in this life to be conformed to the likeness of his son Jesus Christ, and how God is going to glorify us even after we die. So the Apostle Paul, from chapter 1 to 11, he reveals to us the mystery of salvation that was hidden for ages, but then was revealed in divine revelation in the Word of God. And then from chapter 12 to chapter 16, the Apostle Paul calls all believers to live out their Christian life in a very practical way, to present our bodies and our minds as worship to God, as acceptable and pleasant worship for the glory of our God, who has done everything to save us through the merit and the death of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. Then the Apostle Paul comes to the end of the book of Romans. And you know what he does? What he does is he first deals with orthodoxy, the teaching of the doctrines of grace, how salvation came to us as the children of God. And then he deals with orthopraxy. You and I should live what we know and what we have received from God as our salvation, eternal life for the glory of God. And then once he deals with orthodoxy and orthopraxy, then he brings us to doxology. You see, what Paul is doing is, once now you are saved by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ alone, once you have tested that God is indeed good for you, it is time for you to worship God, to praise God. The struggle that you and I have sometimes with our salvation is sometimes we come to the stage in our life, a place in our Christian life where we say, I'm glad I'm saved. I like my salvation. But sometimes we say, the Christian life is boring for me. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes I don't want to go to church. Listen, my brothers and sisters in Christ, only our salvation, the fact that we are justified, we are adopted, we are sanctified, and glory is awaiting for us in heaven without any doubt, because Peter reminds us that we have been established in Jesus Christ, not to be moved. Only these things are enough for us to open our mouth and praise God, worship God. We don't need anything else. Those benefits of salvation, benefits of redemption, are sufficient for us to be in worship, in praise, for the glory of God, not one day in a week, but every moment of our life. We need to be worshipers of God. And that's what Paul is teaching us here. You see, Paul here comes to the climax of the book of Romans, if you will. The climax of the book of Romans. And theologians calls this the climatic point of the book of Romans, where Paul calls every believer, every Christian, to worship God. My question to all of you tonight is that where you are as a believer? Are you with Paul tonight? Are you the worshiper of God despite what you experience in this life? You see, Paul is calling believers to worship, to praise God, even when they go through trials and suffering and pain in this life, because of what he has done for us. And as you would agree with me, we have many reasons to be thankful to God, many reasons to worship and praise God, but the Apostle Paul gives us two significant reasons tonight. Why should we worship God? Why should we praise God? Two reasons. Number one, because he's able to strengthen us. Listen to Paul. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you. That's the first point. And then secondly, because of his wisdom. If you go to verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is doxology. The way you should read, you should understand this is, now to him who is able to strengthen you, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. The other things in the middle of the two words of doxology are reasons, explanation for you, reasons for why we should be worshipers of God. So the first one is, he's able to strengthen us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, why do we need to be strengthened? The first thing I want us to understand tonight, I want you to keep this in your mind as a Christian, every day of your life. The God whom we worship, the God whom we praise every Lord's Day, every day in our life, is the God not only who saved us, but he's also the God who sustains us. Imagine this, if God says to you, well, now you are saved, and from now onwards, you are on your own, and if you make it to heaven, I will see you there. That's not our God. Because no one will make it to heaven apart from the grace of God, apart from the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit. You will not be in heaven. You will fall. You will stay behind. You will not make it to heaven. So you see, Paul is presenting to us a God who saves, but also a God who sustains. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you. God does those two things in your life. He saves you, he sustains you. You see, after saving you, God doesn't leave you to yourself. But he also gives you strength. He sustains your Christian life. Because we live in a world where we have sickness and sorrow and trials. By God's providence, sometimes we go through all these things. You see, the Apostle Paul is assuring you that the one who saved you is the one who sustains you. You're not going to sustain your own Christian life by your own strength, by your own knowledge, by your own wisdom, but by the strength that God gives you in this life. God is to be worshipped because he is the one who is able to strengthen you. And how? Through, Paul said, the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. When Paul said, my gospel here, he was not claiming the gospel as the message that he invented. He clarifies that by saying the preaching of Jesus Christ. The gospel is about Christ. The gospel is about what Christ has brought to us as the elect, as the children of God. And the gospel, you see, strengthens us in the Christian life. In chapter 1, you remember what Paul said about the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. You see, the gospel saves, but also the gospel strengthens. The gospel sustains. That's the reason why we need to be strengthened. You remember the man whose son was healed by Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, do you believe? And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Do you see what the man confessed? I'm a believer. I have faith. But Lord, sometimes my faith is feeble. Sometimes my faith is weak. I want to be strengthened by you. I want my faith to increase. And he pleaded with Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. My friends, why do you think the writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews 4:15, he said this? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. See, our weaknesses. God knows that at times we become weak. At times we experience weaknesses in our Christian life. When sorrow comes, when we lose someone whom we love, when we are sick and the doctor tells us you have a very short period of time to live, so you think about leaving members of your family behind, people whom you love and care for. You think about all these things, you face the reality of life here on earth. My friend, who sustains you? Who strengthens you? You are not the source of your strengths. You are not the source of your own power. You see, you need the gospel. That's why we sit under the preaching of the gospel every Sunday. That's why we study the Word of God together. Because you see, the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God, the instruction of the Word of God, is the source of our strengths. That's where we find the promises of God. That's where God speaks to our heart and to our mind, saying, I'm with you. In Romans chapter 8, you see, Paul reminds us that there will not be anything. In fact, he mentions, things that hard things that we face in this life. Persecution, famine, sword, death. He goes and mentions many, many things in Romans chapter 8. And then he concludes his exhortation with these words of assurance. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. That's Paul's gospel to all of us. And this gospel, you see, strengthens us. In 1 Peter 5:10, listen to Peter. And after you have suffered a little while, you see, we will suffer. Sometimes we suffer for a little while. He's reminding you that your suffering here on earth is temporary. It's for the time being. It will come and pass. Remember that. Because the one who saved you and sustains you is with you. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, establish you. All these benefits of your salvation, my friends, think about them. He will restore you. What does it mean? You will be in fellowship with him. He's not going to let you go. He will have you with him. He will be on your side. You will be in this sweet communion with your God. Every time you come to the word, every time you hear the word, you will be in a sweet, wonderful communion with your God. And then he will confirm you, which means he will keep reminding you, I have elected you in my Son before the foundation of the world. The word of God always confirms to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that you and I are indeed the children of God. He dwells in us, the Holy Spirit, to testify to us that we are indeed the children of God. Confirm you and then strengthen you, because sometimes you become weak, and then establish you like Zion in Jerusalem, being surrounded by the mountains. You see, Peter is telling you, you are not going to be moved. You have been established on whom? On Christ, the rock of your salvation. What is this? This is the gospel. What I just said, what I just proclaimed to you is the good news of the gospel. Now let me ask you this. Those of you who live it under tyranny, oppressive government, you would understand this. And the question to all of you, how do you think oppressive government or, tyranny from earthly government, how do you think they maintain their glory and their power over the people under their rule? How do they do that? Do you know how they do that? They do that by making the people under their rule weak. Every day, they make sure that people under their rule are weak. The educated people are a threat to them. Middle-class people, they are a threat to them. So they have a system. They have programs by which and through which they make the people under their rule weak. That's how they maintain their power and their glory. Now, observe with me. But our God, your God, my God, he maintains his glory and his worship by making his people what? Strong. Our strength comes from him, so our strength never becomes a threat to God. He's sovereign, he's in control, and he makes us strong spiritually. God doesn't make you arrogant. God doesn't make you aggressive in a sinful way. But God makes you humble, but at the same time, strong spiritually. When you face trials and persecution and the opposition of this world as a Christian, you will not be afraid. You become strong in Christ. The Holy Spirit works in you, and through you, people see Christ in your life. People see Christ in your speech, and the way you conduct yourself here on earth, people see the power of the gospel in your life. And if you ask, how? Because God makes you strong. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 2. It is when I am weak that I become what? Strong. God strengthens me when I display weakness and humility before Him. When I say to Him, Lord, make me strong. Give me strength for this day. You wake up in the morning, you take your coffee on your before you go, to your way to work. Do you take a moment and ask God, Lord, I need strength for today. Strengthens me. Do you pray that prayer before you go to your office? To spend your day maybe with unbelieving co-workers who sometimes are hostile towards you because you are a Christian? Do you draw strength from God by reading the scripture, by praying to God, I need strength for this day? Or you just leave home, assuming that you are strong anyway. Paul is saying, no. It is God who strengthens us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, through Christ who gives me strength in the Christian life. And then secondly, God is worthy to receive our worship, our praise, because of His wisdom. In verse 26 and 27, listen to Paul, but has now been disclosed, this mystery of salvation through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command. You see, the command here is the Great Commission. That's how we see the mystery of salvation becomes known to all nations, the preaching of the gospel. That's why we have missionaries in the nations where we have our missionaries, even as the OPC. That's why we have evangelists. We do have an evangelist in Clarkston, here in Atlanta. Why? Because, you see, that's how the gospel, the good news of the gospel, Evangelion, becomes known to people through the preaching of the gospel. And then Paul says this, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. He calls God the wise God. First of all, you need to understand the wisdom of God here is in relation to salvation, in relation to how God saves people. I want you to keep two things in your mind: how God saves sinners and how God keeps His covenant with the people of Israel. That's what Paul is talking about here. And he's telling you there is wisdom there. When you think about how God saves sinners and how God keeping His covenant with Israel, it's the wisdom of God. My mind, your mind, is not going to comprehend it fully. It is deep. It is so rich. What has been revealed to us is revealed to us in the scripture, but there are mysteries that we don't understand about our own salvation. So he calls God the wise God. Now listen, he's not suggesting that there are multiple gods and among them our God is the only wise God. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not contradicting himself with what he said in 1 Timothy 1:17. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. One God. And in Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You see, the declaration of the absolute unity of God. One God. But this God, Paul is saying, He is the only wise God. in relation to salvation. And what it means is this: his wisdom, his knowledge in relation to salvation is infinite. It is limitless. No one or nothing can frustrate his plan of salvation. That's what Paul is telling us here. But why is Paul mentioning the wisdom of God here? First, he wants to remind us how God saves sinners. And I want us to think tonight how God saves sinners first. And in that you see the wisdom of God. Now, the Bible teaches us how God saves sinners. And we all would say, yeah, through the preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of Christ. But do you remember how the people received the preaching of the Word of God when it was proclaimed to them? You remember how they received it? Do you remember what their reaction was? Their reaction was, this is foolishness. How can a man die for his enemies? How can a man come down from heaven and die for those who rejected him? So the Bible tells us the message of the cross was foolishness for the Greeks, and it was a stumbling block for the Jews. No one liked the message of the gospel, but there was this wisdom of God in the message of the cross. The just God justifies the unjust. That's wisdom. That's mystery. I don't know how long it took for me to understand it, to come in terms with the wisdom of God. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us, believers, it's no more a secret, because the Holy Spirit has dawned the light of the gospel in our life. Now we understand. Now we see why God did that. We see why God died for sinners who didn't love him, because salvation had to be by what? By grace and through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not by merit, not by gold or silver, by anything that we do, but by grace. As a free gift from God. So my friends, the way God saves sinners it has this wisdom of God to the only wise God. You see, for that reason, you and I, we must always worship God. We must always praise God. Because the salvation that you have received in your life, you don't deserve it. Jesus died for you while you were still his enemy. So what should be your response? What is the fitting response that you should give to God? Worship, doxology. And then we also see the wisdom of God on how he keeps his covenant with the people of Israel. And this is amazing, because in Romans 9, verse 6 and 7, listen to Paul. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are the children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year, I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And then you go to Romans 11, where Paul tells us that God, in order to include us in the covenant of grace, in order to engraft us to this vine, Israel. Not only, you know, those who were Israelites in the flesh, but by faith, who became the children of Abraham. Israelites, but the children of Abraham by faith, the new Israel, through regeneration, through faith, in order to include us with them. You know what God did? He hardened their hearts for the time being. That's wisdom. Why did God harden the hearts of some Israelites to call you and I to Himself, to save us, to make us one? Do you know what the wisdom of God did? The wisdom of God brought two people who have never liked one another at all. Through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, He brought them to one fold, to the church of Jesus Christ. They became one. They were two, but He made them one in Christ Jesus. And they started loving one another. They started caring for one another. And that's the beauty of the church of Jesus Christ. Because it is not about ethnicity. It is not about where we come from. It is about you and I being in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We love one another in Christ Jesus. The wisdom of God. This was the reason, you see, why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11, you see, when he was overwhelmed by the grace of God, by the doctrines of grace, by what God has done for His people in relation to salvation, Paul said this, Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Answer, no one. If God would come to the Israelites, and He would say to them, listen, I'm going to harden your heart for a little while, so that I will bring the Gentiles to the covenant of grace, the Israelites would say, no way. You can't do that. But praise be to God, He didn't counsel them. He didn't talk to them about that. He controlled their hearts. He hardened them for a little while. You know what He did by hardening their hearts? They saw the Gentiles, you and I, come into Christ, flow into the kingdom of God, and they became jealous. They repented. They embraced their Gentile brothers and sisters in Christ. Read about the church at Ephesus. Read about the church in Rome. That's what the grace of God accomplished in the life of God's people. You see, Paul is saying here, for who has known the mind of the Lord? No one. Or who has been His counselor? No one. Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? And then Paul said, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. So you see, my friends, how do we respond to God's grace? What do you do? What would you say? What do you say to what God has done for you in relation to your salvation? In relation to you being adopted by God, you becoming the child of God? Well, the psalmist tells us what the proper response to God is. Listen to the psalmist. Psalmist said, oh, come to God who saved you. Come to God who sustains you. And do what? Come. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The rock is Christ. So let us come and worship the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Now listen to this. For the Lord is great God. You know, the wise God and a great king above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. And then the psalmist said, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. And the sheep of His hand. That's who you are, my brother. That's who you are, my sister. That's who you are, our young children, in Christ Jesus. And your response? Doxology. Worship and praise to the true and the living God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, You are indeed the only wise God, immortal, invisible, the one who saved us, but also the one who sustains us. Tonight, O Lord, we come to You to ask You to strengthen us by the power of the gospel. To create in this place men and women and young children who are strong in Christ. Fill this church with strong believers. Strong believers who never compromises the truths of the gospel. Even when they face hostility and opposition of this world, that they would remain to be strong. Bless Christ to OPC, our brothers and sisters in Christ here in this church, with the strength that comes from Your grace, from Christ. Enable them by Your grace to join the Apostle Paul in saying, I can do all things by the strength that Christ gives me. Bless them with strength. Enable them by Your grace to worship You as the only wise God, remembering what You have done for them in order to save them and sustain them in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.